My name is Hui Ong. I'm the executive director of OPAL Environmental Justice Oregon.
My name is Sean Fleek. I am a descendant of the Northern Arapaho tribe. I am OPAL Environmental Justice Oregon's community engagement coordinator.
Okay. So, for our listeners who may not be familiar with it, what is the idea of environmental justice? It's sort of the intersection of social justice and environmental activism.
I mean, the simplest way to put it is it answers the question who gets to live where and why. But it's about social, racial, and economic justice and how they intersect with the lived environment. So when we say environment, we're not just talking about trees and fish and rivers for their own sake, even though those things are sacred. It's about how those things impact a person's day-to-day life. And yeah, it's about whether or not a person has access to all the things that make an environment for them safe and healthy. So not just clean air and water and soil, but also access to transportation and housing, parks, medical services, just your ability to have a safe and healthy environment that you live in day to day is environmental justice's focus, as compared to environmentalism, which is much more focused on just conservation for its own sake and natural resources, which again are important, but often forget the human equation.
Okay, so speaking to these ideas of access and living quality, Portland has a long history of harming communities of color in the name of progress with infrastructure projects and gentrification and things like that. Can you speak a little bit to that Portland's history with that and what's going on today?
Yeah. Portland has had many instances of, let's say, even if it weren't intentionally white supremacist, that in effect, policies that the city has enacted have reinforced white supremacy. Whether that was hoping to renew a particular area and well-meaning city planners saying we're going to urban renew this particular area, ending up displacing, thousands of African American folks, or unintentionally, but still obviously, making investments in certain communities that lead to individuals' inability to continue living there. Emmanuel Hospital is an example that we use really often as a, historically black community that was gutted through an urban renewal policy. But you see this time and again, the construction of the interstate through historically black communities, the yellow line train that went through a historically lower income and black community and ended up raising rents nearby and displacing folks there. That idea that we want to invest in certain communities without also investing in the people in those communities leads to environmental injustices. When we don't also invest in the people that are in those communities and we just think about a neighborhood as being a collection of buildings and infrastructure without considering the people, that's how you end up with rampant gentrification and displacement. Where you don't actually also think about how do we keep people's wages in line with the rising property values that come when you build a new transportation corridor. So if you don't do one and you only do if you don't have both together, essentially you end up with a disproportionate impact on the communities that you're investing in.
So, did you want to pipe in
I would
on
just
that?
add that, one of the things we share and talk about as OPAL Environmental Justice Oregon is that nothing about us without us is a little bit of a tagline, and that speaks to processes and decision making that often impacts low income folks and folks of color without meaningful engagement in that decision making process. We organize low income folks and folks of color to actually start breaking up and providing some of that access for our communities to self-determine what their neighborhoods, their communities can look like. I think that speaks to transportation, that speaks to housing, that speaks to a wide range of issues that oftentimes our communities are not even thought of or intentionally left out. of processes.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, what is it about the process that makes it so susceptible to forgetting about the communities that these actions are impacting?
We sometimes speak about Portland's paternalistic, progressive paternalism, where well-meaning folks oftentimes believe because of their educational background or what they studied or their access to policy know what's actually best for other communities. And we speak to the fact that we are experts of our own experience, and you will be making better policy by engaging the communities that will be impacted, because oftentimes you will not see the unforeseen consequences of a new road development, putting in a sidewalk, putting in, like Sean shared, a transportation corridor that might actually displace a lot of people, with the well intention of providing access or revitalizing a particular community for economic development, in whose name? When we talk about economic development, are any of those folks going to be locally hired? Are any of those folks, what does the community actually want to have in that neighborhood? And does putting in some of these higher end grocery stores actually ends up displacing the communities that used to live there? We all want good, healthy, clean foods, but if the food does not match the economic accessibility of our communities, there's a disconnect.